And joining us right now at PMP Network is Tony Luke Jr. You know him from the frozen food section and from the movie The Nail. It's a brand new picture came out that's really a nice movie. It stars Tony, and it's one man's second chance and one boy's hope for a chance. It's a kind of a tender movie, but has some tots that aren't too tender as well. Tony, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. I was actually quite entertained by the film. How's it doing?
It's doing really well. It's playing on Showtime. It's playing on the Movie Channel. Netflix rentals are phenomenal for the film, and the word of mouth is really pushing this movie.
That's good. Well, it's got a good buzz on, and people are talking about it. I like it a lot, and it is available out there, folks, for rental, and you could probably purchase it as well. I assume it's available, and you can also get details at thenailthemovie.com as well.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the film. How did you involve getting? How did you get involved in the story of Joey Nardone?
Well, I mean, it's very loosely based on stories that were told to me by my father of him growing up. His father was from the old school. He's from the other side, and he was a heavy drinker. And you know, there were massive beatings given to him and my grandmother from my grandfather. And growing up, hearing the stories and different people I met growing up in South Philly, I just put this character together. It was a story I thought that really needed to be told. And even though the story has been told many times before, I think the thing that makes this picture just a little bit different is the character of Hugo, who's played by Billy Gallo, who's the young boy's dad, who's the abuser. He really loves his family. I mean, he thinks that what he is doing is just the way it's done. And the reason I focused on that side of it, and I mean, he comes off as an abuser, but his intentions are he's teaching the kid, he's teaching his wife that there's certain things that have to be done and that this is the norm to do. And we went in that direction because I was hoping to reach those people that think that what they're doing is fine. Like, they don't look at themselves as abusers. They look at themselves as caring fathers or caring mothers who just have a temper and they need to teach their children or their spouse what has to be done using their hands. So that was what I tried to do. I tried to get people to say, wait a minute, I mean, he kind of sounds like me. Is that what I'm doing? Are those the mental scars that I'm leaving on my child or on my spouse? And I was hoping to get to those people who think that they're not doing anything wrong and make them see that you are, and there's no reason for beating anyone. There's no reason for that behavior.
Hmm. Well, that was a good point, and it was made both subtle and effectively in the film. And now, this is based on a story that you wrote. How did you feel when you saw it on the screen?
It was kind of amazing. It was 3 years of trying to raise the money, and then when we finally did raise the money, we shot that film in 18 days. Which is an incredible pace to do a film. And it was my first lead. I mean, I had done a lot of smaller roles in films, but never a lead role. And to do a lead role and your first film as a lead, to do it in 18 days is equivalent to doing, you know, a marathon. I mean, it's crazy. It was extremely tough, and I never could have gotten through it if it wasn't for Leo Rossi, who plays Petey in the movie. He's a dear friend of mine. He's my mentor. And he just really, man, he schooled me. He took me to school, and he was there for me every step of the way. And James Catroci, who directed it, he was just a very patient director, and he knew what he wanted, and we had a very clear vision of how we wanted the film to look and how we wanted the characters. And he was right there, and you know, he pushed and he pushed and he pushed. There was a scene, I'm not giving anything away from the movie, but there's the scene in the cemetery. Excuse me, it's in a very emotional scene, and you know, we did, like, you know, we had to do every different angle. So, you know, after like 6 or 7 takes, it's such an emotional scene, you're drained. You don't have anything left, and then they have to do the close-ups. And I looked at him and I said, you know, James, I don't have anything left. I mean, I'm spent emotionally. I'm spent. And he went, no, you're okay, you're good. I said, no, really, I'm not. He goes, no, you're fine. And he says, you know, roll speed. And he walks over to me, and he says to me, your grandmother, my grandmother was a very instrumental part of my life. In fact, the pictures you see at the end, or the one picture of the lady holding the baby, is my grandmother. And the movie is dedicated to her. And he looked at me and he said, your grandmother would be proud. You know, make her proud. Mm-hmm. Feel that. She's not here. She can't see this. You know, say it to her now. Tell her. Show her what you can do. And it immediately, like, recharged my... Like, he always knew the right thing to say at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly got a lot out of the whole cast. I thought the film was really well done. And I was really impressed with the kid.
Oh, Pablo Orantia. He is a superstar waiting to happen. I mean, it is literally only a matter of time before this kid completely blows up. And that's another reason why I fight so hard for people to watch this. It's a difficult film to watch. I mean, I mean, there's some really strong parts in that film. I tried to make it as realistic as possible, including the beatings of the child. In fact, I kind of over-dramatized those beatings because I wanted to show the terror from a child's point of view. You know, a child sees everything bigger than life. So we were, you know, me and the director were talking, and he said, look, we've got to make this even bigger because we got to make the audience feel the terror that kid is feeling. We have to make it feel it in the pit of their stomach, and I do think we accomplished that, excuse me, with that scene. And, you know, it was very emotional, and, you know, he did a great job, and it's hard for a film like this to find an audience. You know, it's not a big-budget film. They don't spend millions of dollars in promoting it, but word of mouth and doing shows and radio shows like this and just getting the word out, little by little, we've started to find our audience, and more people are talking about the film and watching the film. And it's a long process. I mean, the film has literally only been out for less than 3 months, or 3 months now. And, you know, we're finding our audience on Showtime. We're finding our audience. People are starting to rent the movie more and more. So, you know, it's just a longer process when you really don't have the money and you can't promote it and you can't do those things. Word of mouth has to drive people to watch this film.
I agree, and I had not heard of it myself until it came, and I loved it. So I wanted to kind of promote the fact that it's a wonderful movie to watch. It has some really, I think, positive things to offer for people to sit and watch it. One of the things I wanted to ask you about that I thought was interesting is that I know it's a low-budget film, but yet you've got some big-name actors and actresses in it as well.
Well, you know, the script did that. Honestly, we sent the script out, and they were really moved by it. I mean, William Forsythe plays one of my best friends in the movie, and he's a dear friend of mine, and he came on board, and he just knocked it out of the park. But he's such a great actor. I mean, everything he does, you know, is first rate. And Tony Danza, we sent him a script. He loved it. He wanted to be a part of it. We brought him in. And it's kind of great. Tony's character is a little different from the other characters that he plays. He plays a real creep in this movie, you know. So it's kind of different than what he's used to doing. Dianara Torres, that was her first really heavy supporting role. And I got to tell you, you know, you watched it. I mean, she just, man, she nailed it. Pardon the pun. I mean, she really did. She was right on the money. I mean, and it was a very emotional character for her to do. And Billy Gallo as the dad. I'll tell you a real quick story, which is really good. Billy is completely opposite of the character that he's playing. He's a great guy. He's easygoing. He's a real family man. So to play that role, and Billy gets really into a role when he gets into it, it was very difficult for him. And I remember the last day of shooting, you know, everybody says, hey, this is a wrap for Billy Gallo. Everybody claps. And we're getting ready to leave. And I said, Billy, before you go, let's go get something to eat. You know, I really want to thank you. You did such a great job. And he looked at me with the most sincerity, and he said, Tony, the only thing I want to do right now is go back to the hotel and take a 5-hour shower and try to wash this creep off of me. I mean, that's how affected he was by that character.
Well, I think that the audience that watches it was also affected. They were going to hate him, so he did a very good job at that role.
And you're right. That's how you can tell when it's good, when people look at your character and go, I hate that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and Leo Rossi, you know, has been a dear friend of mine for many, many years, and we just have a really good chemistry on camera together, you know. And when we were casting with Petey, and I called him up and I said, this guy Petey is Joey's mentor. He's, you know, he's his family. He's his best friend. He's the guy he looks to. And I said, so we won't even have to act, Leo. I said, you're my mentor. I love you. You're my one of my best friends. I said, so, you know, we got to do this. And, you know, he was very instrumental in putting this film together and getting the other actors and, you know, because he also produced this film, him and Jamie. So, you know, he was wearing many hats, Leo, besides doing his own role and literally, you know, schooling me, you know, through the rest of the film. So he had it harder than most. He really had 20 different hats he was wearing during this filming. But he's such a great actor, and he's such a great guy, and his character comes across so well in the film.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult thing to produce a film as it is, and to act in a film, and to do them both is that's a pretty big role.
Yeah, it's tough.
Mm. Now, I did not know this about you, but when we advertised that PMP Network was going to have Tony Luke Jr. on, I'm thinking of you as an actor, but actually you're kind of a frozen food sensation. I didn't know about this. Like, it must be a family business. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I started out as an actor, and then I went into music. You know, music is my first love. And in the 80s, I wrote for a lot of bands and produced a lot of bands, and I wrote for Motown Records. And, you know, I worked with George Clinton and George Benson and Brandy Wells. And, you know, I had a bunch of people that I had worked with and learned from. And then in 92, me, my brother, and my father decided to start a business together in South Philly, and it was a cheesesteak place with, you know, cheesesteaks, roast pork, Italian sandwiches. And I have to tell you, in 92, opening up a cheesesteak place in a town where Pat's, Gino's, Jim's, Steve, like, these were gods, you know, of that food genre. And, you know, people kind of thought we were crazy, but within 2 years, you know, we had won Best of Philly. And then the following year, we won GQ Magazine's Golden Dish Award for Best Sandwiches. And then finally, we won Gourmet Magazine's 150 Best Restaurants in All of America. And things really started to skyrocket, you know, and we went from literally at a one store, we went from selling, you know, 250 sandwiches a week, 300 sandwiches a week when we started, to close to 15,000 sandwiches a week now. You know, and then we opened up another location, and then people were calling, asking us to, you know, do you ship the sandwiches? And they don't come out really well when you ship them. In fact, they don't come out well at all. So I was playing around with a way to ship the sandwiches, and I came across a technique that we have a patent pending on processing the meat and doing it in a way where you can microwave it or boil it in a bag, sort of like sous vide cooking it. And we give you a roll, and the meat is separate. You boil it or you microwave it, and it came out extremely well. It didn't come out as good as if you would buy it in the store. I mean, that's only natural. You can't compare a fresh-made product to a product that you're microwaving. But I got to tell you, and this is a big statement for me, because when people ask me who makes the best cheesesteak in Philly, every time I do an interview, whatever I do, they go, Tony, honestly, who makes the best cheesesteak? And the absolute truth is, the best cheesesteak is the one that you like best. I always tell people, Pat's is great, Gino's great, Steve is great, Jim's is great. They're all great. John's Roast Pork is great. Every place is great in Philly. Try them all. Come to Tony Luke's, try Tony Luke's, try them all. And then pick the one you like best and just keep going there. Because it's a great sandwich, and there's a lot of great places that make it. So when I tell you, which is the statement I'm going to give you next, you know that that's my way of thinking. I never claim to be the best at anything. There's all good product. I will tell you this without a shadow of a doubt. Tony Luke's Pronto frozen cheesesteaks are absolutely, hands down, the best frozen cheesesteak that is available on the market today. There is nothing that even comes close to that. It took me 2 years to perfect that. You know, it is an extremely good sandwich. It's juicy. It's 100% black Angus sirloin. The roll is fantastic. You put the roll in the oven. You microwave it for a few seconds, and you put the roll in the oven. It comes out crisp. You boil the bag or microwave it. The juice from the steak loads the bag, you pour it on, the cheese is on there already, and I'm telling you, for a frozen food product, it is literally off the chart.
I'll let you say that. I have not had it, so I can't tell my audience that it's good because I haven't eaten it. I never got a copy. They never usually they send these kind of things over here, but they didn't send it to us.
Yeah, and we're currently in a little over 1,100 supermarkets now, and we're growing every month more and more. We're basically through most of the East Coast. Now we're heading down towards Florida, and we're going up towards Connecticut. You know, we're going towards New England, and now we're going west also towards Chicago. So we're hoping in the next 18 months we literally should be nationally. There shouldn't be any supermarket in the country that you can't walk in and get a Tony Luke's pronto sandwich. You know, we have cheesesteak now. We have a chicken cheesesteak. We have roast pork Italian, which is a roast pork with sharp provolone and spinach. And we're coming out in the next 3 months, we're coming out with a chicken parm, a meatball parm, and a cheesesteak deluxe with mushrooms and fried onions. And I'm currently working on a vegan cheesesteak. So not just a vegetarian cheesesteak. It does, and honestly, it doesn't taste like a cheesesteak. It's just a really good sandwich. And it does have some beef flavoring, but no beef product in it. You know, you use soy, and you try to get it as close to a beef flavoring as you can. And that should be ready within 12 months, and because I definitely wanted to do some kind of a vegetarian or vegan product.
Okay, so Tony Luke Jr., you can look up Tony Luke's. Their frozen foods are all over the place, the pronto name. And the movie is called The Nail, and it's available right now all over. You can get it online, or you can actually go to the website.
Yeah, the website, we did a special holiday. I mean, the movie is literally selling everywhere for like $22. There's some place you can get it for $18. But to thank all of the people that have supported us, if they go to thenailthemovie.com, or if they just go to tonylukes.com, there's a link, a real big link to that. We're doing the movie for $4.99 for the holidays.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a very good deal for the film.
Yeah, in fact, folks could buy a few of them and give them as gifts. It's
mm-hmm,
nice
exactly.
Gift. Yeah. Well, Tony, it was a pleasure talking to you, and we want to wish you a lot of luck with the frozen foods. Hopefully, one of these days I'll get a taste of that. I'll check it out when it gets to our supermarket around here. And good luck with any more films that you decide to do. Since you wrote this one, maybe you got other stories written in you as well.
We got a few more coming, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the support. I really do appreciate it.
Take care.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.